Okay, Proverbs chapter 21, please. And when you find your place, we will stand for the reading of God's word. And we're going to read verses 10 through 13. I'll read if you follow along. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we, Lord, we thank you that we have your word, Lord, and that we, if we are righteous and we're walking in righteousness, Lord, we can learn, we can be instructed verbally through your word, through prayer, through devotion, through the verbal witness of others. Lord, we don't have to be punished like the scorner. We pray that you'd help us not to be a scorner. We pray that, again, that you should be with any that are still traveling. We ask for safety on the roads in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're picking up in verse 10 this morning. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. So the wicked here desireth evil. The wicked person is the person that is not a child of the Lord, or potentially is someone who is severely backslidden, who is a Christian but who is backslidden, who is fighting the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And that person desireth evil. That person does not look out for the good of others. That person is only looking for evil. That person has an evil take on every situation. They desire evil on others. Of course, they don't desire it for themselves. They desire it on others. Some other similar verses, Proverbs 3:29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. And, you know, even in our text here, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. What does that mean? His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. That speaks of the fact that that wicked person, when he sees his neighbor in need, and of course we know from Christ and his parable about the Good Samaritan, we know that a neighbor is not just the person right next door to us, but that could be the person that, the coworker that we know is going through difficult times, someone that we meet in our day-to-day walk, it might be a family member, it might be a friend, a casual acquaintance. But the wicked person does not give favor to any of those in need. And that kind of ties in with verse 13 of the same passage. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So this wicked person does not hear their cry. His heart, or her heart, is not soft, is not yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's hardened towards the person in need. But that person deviseth evil, thinketh evil. Proverbs 12:12 says, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of righteousness yieldeth fruit. They think of ensnaring others. They're not like the righteous that conversely, oppositely, yield fruit. Their fruit, the fruit of the righteous is very different to the fruit of the wickedness, the wicked. The wicked certainly do bear fruit, but it's like a poison berry of some sort. You know, it's poisonous. You know, our neighbors graciously gave us a big poinsettia that we had it in the back of the church here for a while, and gave it to us because they bought it, and then they found out that it would it's poisonous. The leaves are poisonous for animals, and they had dogs, and they, of course, did not want to endanger their dogs. Well, that's like the fruit of the wicked; their fruit is poisonous, whereas the righteous yield healthy, beneficial fruit. Speaking about the wicked, David, Book of Psalms 36:4 said, "He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." So what's the problem there? He abhorreth not evil. He does not have a fear of God. When a person has a fear of God, an appropriate, righteous fear of God, they're going to hate sin. They're going to hate evil. They're going to hate wickedness. That is part of the definition of the fear of God. But the wicked, he doesn't abhor evil. He's not afraid of the consequences of his sin. For some reason, he or she has disquieted their heart, or I should say quieted their heart by thinking that either God would not touch them, or somehow that they... That there was no God, and that they're free from the consequences of their actions. So this wicked person deviseth mischief upon his bed. Thinking about mischief. What can I do? How can I ensnare people? How can I get things that I don't deserve? Now, on the other hand, the righteous, when they're on their bed and maybe they're sleep has evaded them. They should be thinking about the Lord. They should be using that time profitably to pray for others. They might, depending on the situation, they might pull open a Bible and do some reading. I mean, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you might wake up a spouse or something like that, and maybe you can't. But the time should be spent profitably and in doing good. And looking for the good of others. Whereas this wicked person, they desire evil, and they devise mischief. They're thinking, their imaginations run to wickedness. But that ought not to be the way of the believer. Psalms 52:2-3 speaks about the tongue. "The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor. Worketh deceitfully," sharp razor. I know from shaving, sometimes you have your razor in your kit and you stick your hand in there. It's like, ooh, I just ran my finger along my razor, and you know, you might get a little kind of like almost like a paper cut, but the razor it cuts so cleanly, it cuts deeply if it has the chance, and the tongue, it just. Surgical. It cuts deeply. In that same passage in Psalms, it says, "Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." So let's not be like this, the soul of the wicked in Proverbs 21:10, that deviseth evil, and who does not have favor for others in their eyes. It's all about themselves. It's all about what they can get for themselves, what they can procure for themselves. Some verses about giving to the poor and being benevolent to others. In Psalms 112, Verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. You know, that not be moved, that's not where that person is unmovable, who's rigid, who is hard to deal with. This is speaking about the person who stands on the truth and does not move off of the truth. It's not speaking of a stubborn person. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now verse 9. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. That's the way that the believer is to be. Okay, in verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Scorner. What does that word scorner mean? So it means to scoff, to make mouths at. You can think of even in the simpler examples of someone rolling their eyes at something that somebody has said. So to scoff, to have in derision, to mock. So when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Proverbs 19:25, just a couple passages before us. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. You know, back in the day, when the scripture was written, they had forms of corporal punishment. It didn't always mean death. It could mean a whipping or some sort of public punishment for wickedness. Of course, we have gone so far the opposite way in our day and age, haven't we? And I don't for a minute suggest that we as Christians look at scripture like this and then say, well, I have license to smite the scorner, because we don't. We don't. That is government's responsibility, and if government chooses not to exercise that, then we cannot take it upon ourselves. I've mentioned before about a case in which a friend of mine had a bachelor friend. He there was two families that came to church. They were visitors, and he ambitiously had them over, both families over, for a meal. And he elicited the help of another bachelor in the church to help him. And while they were there, the man of one family and the man of the other family got into a doctrinal disagreement. And finally, the one man stood up, grabbed his Bible, and said, I'm going to hit you with the word of God. And he did just that. He took his Bible and smote him. Hit him with it. Not something to do. But it is right to speak a word sternly to the scorner. And to come from a position of authority and to reprove them. But back in the day, there was corporal punishment for such wickedness, and it had a positive impact on people. They would learn. They'd be learnt up, as Brother Watson would use the word. They'd be learnt up. They'd learn not to scorn. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So the wise person has learned by experience that they can increase in wisdom by heeding counsel. And sometimes the counsel is something that they do not want to hear. In the flesh, that is. Something that maybe kind of hurts their conscience. It makes them feel bad about themselves. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Part of being wise is being humble, where we will listen to counsel. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes people will give counsel and it'll be wrong. Sometimes that's the case. But for us to be able to take the counsel before the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, this person just gave me this counsel. Is there truth to it?" And you know, sometimes the counsel that's given is inaccurate, but it points to an underlying problem. You know, the saying, "Where there's smoke, there's often fire," right? You know, I was at this conference there, and I was sitting there, and the conference was packed out, and I thought I smelled smoke, and I was like, "What is that smell?" And I was looking at the exits. I saw a fire extinguisher. I saw the little thing you pull there to set off the fire alarm, and I was like this, you know, like, is there smoke? Is there a fire? Or, you know, is there some smoke from outside wafting in? There was no fire. Praise the Lord. But sometimes where there is smoke, there is a fire. And so by that I mean sometimes somebody smells smoke, and they from our life, and they bring something to our attention. Maybe they make a false, they put two and two together, and they've actually come up with five. You know, they've made a false conclusion. And yet, at the heart of it, they've brought to our attention that there is something wrong, but it's not exactly what they've said. And I've seen that happen before. And so when someone brings something to our attention, we ought to bring it before the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, is there any truth to this in any way? Not just the what they had said, but is there some truth that that you are using this person to teach me?" So when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. You know, as a person stores up wisdom, the flesh starts to say to you, "You know what, you're pretty wise." And you say to it, to the flesh, "Why, thank you. Yeah, I think I'm starting to get there." Remember the Apostle Paul? He said that he had not apprehended. He had not made it. He had not achieved perfection. He had not apprehended the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to have that same humble attitude where we will learn and will continue learning to the day we die. That we don't ever get inflamed with anger and, "Well, you don't know your place, you don't know who I am, you don't know what knowledge I have." The wise man will hear. And that, again, goes even for if we think that the counsel is wrong, we'll still listen, and then we'll bring it before the Lord and look for his direction. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be yet wiser. That wise, truly wise person will accept counsel. And they'll just keep adding it, and their wisdom will continue to grow. But you know, that person's wisdom, if they allow pride to corrupt it, to get in, pride will corrupt it, the wisdom. They will no longer be walking in the Spirit, they'll be walking in the flesh. And their pride will actually destroy their testimony. It will destroy any good that they have to offer. Let's increase in learning. Let's accept instruction. Accept admonishment. Accept reproof even. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." Now that feeding on foolishness, it's empty though. It does not provide any nutrition. It's like eating cotton candy. It provides nothing for the health of that person. So the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. We have those three things, and they keep building on itself. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. We get a degree of knowledge, and we strive to understand, to get understanding. And as we start to understand, we then apply it to our lives, and that's wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding to our lives. So it's a circle, though. It's that helicentrical thing we were talking about the other day. It goes like a DNA. It builds on itself. And so we seek for knowledge. We seek for understanding. We seek for wisdom. You know, it's one thing, for instance, we know that God hates pride. Well, then we start to understand, why does God hate pride? Because pride raises that person above God, ultimately, raises themselves above the law of God. And as we develop an understanding of that, then we put it to practical use. And of course, that's just simplifying it. We put it to practical use and we say, okay, God hates pride. Pride's wrong. This is what pride does in the life of the Christian. Therefore, I'm going to follow humility. I'm going to learn of Christ, who is meek and humble. So let's receive. Let's receive wisdom. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. Thinking of that word prudent, it means that is to understand, consider, be cunning. And that word cunning can sometimes be used in the sense of wickedness, where someone cunningly deviseth wickedness. But the Bible also uses the word in the positive way, in the sense of a cunning craftsman, someone who does an excellent job. The word prudent means to discern. And that's, I think, a large part of that word, the meaning of that word, to actually discern something, to see through the tricks of Satan, to be skillful. Okay. Going back to our text here. So now verse 12. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Now what does he mean here? The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. And if you go through the book of Psalms over and over and over, you're going to read Psalms where David starts off by saying, why are the wicked in such a state? Why are the wicked surviving? Why are they thriving? Why is God not punishing them? And yet I, trying to follow God, suffer. But he says that so often in some of these Psalms, and it seems to be something that David had to learn over and over and over. And each time, as you progress through those Psalms, David comes to a realization that God will punish the wicked in his time. And so as we ponder, consider, verse 12, wisely consider the house of the wicked, we look at what's happening in their life. We see through the facade. We see through the facade of the supposed wealth, you know, whatever it might be, whether it be very costly garments and rings and jewelry and all the toys, the big house, the fancy cars, whatever it might be. We see through all that. We see someone who is unhappy, who is not at peace with God, who has no joy, no true joy. They try to manufacture joy with things like drugs and alcohol and different aspects of different sinful pleasures, which are only pleasures of sin for a season. So when we look at the wicked, we wisely consider them. We look past all that facade, and we see the true nature of their existence and the end point, where they're going, God's judgment on them. You look at them and you see in the heavens, as it were, symbolically, an anvil suspended over them. And you know it's just a matter of time. If they do not turn from their sin, that God's judgment will come down on them. Okay, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The wise person looks at them and recognizes that they're not going to get away with their wickedness. They're not going to fool God. God sees everything. He records everything. That doesn't make us proud and arrogant towards them. And in fact, it should make us want to be like the rich man in hell who too late came to his senses and now wanted to send Lazarus to his brethren to warn them. So instead of us being proud and lifted up towards the wicked, we want to warn them of the judgment to come. Okay, we'll end there, and we're going to jump into verse 13, Lord willing, next Sunday. And got some thoughts that I want to tie into another passage in verse 13. I believe will be a blessing to us and a conviction to us. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for these principles. Lord, we pray that we would be wise, we would be instructed, that we would not be proud, that we would not stop our ears. We pray that we would not have to be like the scorner that actually has to receive punishment. And Lord, we know that in this day and age, the punishment would come from you. Government does not exact this type of corporal punishment. But Lord, we know that you exact your punishment, and yours is far worse. We pray that none of us would be a scorner. None of us would fight against the truth. None of us would mock the truth. But that we would all walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Lord, as we look at the wicked, help us not to be envious of their wealth. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lord, help us to realize their end, that they will be punished, that even now they have no joy, they have no peace and contentment. Lord, I pray that you be with our morning worship service, that you speak to our hearts. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.